from the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, it may be the lull between Christmas and New Year's, but that doesn't mean Gordon Goldsborough takes any time off. Gordon is here, of course, from the Manitoba Historical Society for his Abandoned Manitoba segment. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So last week, an interesting way to end your visit here, you had a contest which you asked how many hydroelectric generating stations in Manitoba had names beginning with the letter K. I'll let you finish up with that. How did it go?
Well, extremely well. Part of the hint was that the number of them was not three. So a lot of people took that to mean that the answer was therefore two. And there are two that are operating on the Nelson River. There's the Kettle Generating Station. There's the Kelsey Generating Station. And they thought that was the right answer. Well, unfortunately, it's not, because it doesn't take into account the one that's under construction. There's one called Kiask that'll be coming online in the next couple of years. So we got three, but I think a lot of people neglected the central theme of this series, which, of course, is abandonment. So there was a fourth one, actually, one that has been abandoned.
And you're very clear, there was four that start with K. Wanted all four, right?
There were four. Well, I didn't say there were four. I said there were...
Oh, no, you said there were three.
There were not
correct.
Three.
Yeah.
And some people took that to mean there were two. Well, no, there's not two.
Right.
There are, in fact, four.
Right.
And the fourth one is called Canoochewan.
Canoochewan.
Mm-hmm. And there's the abandonment theme, because it has been abandoned since 1943.
So, well, first of all, did anyone know that?
Yes, in fact, we do have a winner. One of our listeners, Phil Vaness, came through with the right answer. In fact, just the other day, I had a second person come through with the right answer. But we had quite a lot of wrong answers, though, too.
Including things that didn't start with K at all.
That's right.
Okay, so Canoochewan was built in 1943.
No, it ended and it shut down in 1943. That's right. No, its history goes back further than that.
Okay.
It actually started in the early 1930s. Of course, the 1930s was a period of economic turmoil. It was the Great Depression. But one of the things that continued through the 30s was mine explorations. People went all over Canada looking for places they could develop, you know, commercial mines. And mm-hmm. so there was a very famous mine developer by the name of Bob Jousey. He traveled over much of northern Manitoba. And in the early part of 1932, he was traveling in the area of God's Lake, which is up in sort of northeastern Manitoba. Mm-hmm. It's about 330 miles as the crow flies from Winnipeg, maybe about a little over 500 kilometers. And he was looking for gold in the vicinity of God's Lake. He apparently was looking for a campsite on Elk Island, which is a large island in the God's Lake. And lo and behold, they found gold. And so they did a little more exploration, and it was commercially viable. So that led into the development of a gold mine on Elk Island in God's Lake. Now, the problem was that in order to be a functional mine, you need a source of power. And I guess there would be various ways you could do it. You could, in theory, burn maybe coal or some other fuel. But in this case, the key was they had a guy involved who had a long-standing a specialty in the development of water-related infrastructure, a fellow by the name of William Chase. Now, people here in Winnipeg might recognize that name if they're students of history of Winnipeg,
right?
Because Mr. Chase is responsible for two major pieces of infrastructure here in Manitoba that I think we still benefit from today. He came to Manitoba in 1907, and he helped to build the Pointe du Bois Generating Station, which today, of course, is one of the generators on the Winnipeg River that produces power. In fact, it's the oldest generating station in Manitoba Hydro's fleet of generating stations. So he was responsible for its construction in the early part of the 20th century. Then he went away for a little while, but he came back, and he was the chief engineer for the Winnipeg Aqueduct.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
Shoal Lake.
Absolutely. Bringing water from Shoal Lake to the city of Winnipeg. You know, it has ensured that Winnipeg has one of the best water supplies on the continent. And Mr. Chase was its chief engineer. So two major water-related projects that he was involved with. Well, he went away. He came back in the 1930s at the behest of the company that wanted to develop this mine, because he had experience. After he left Winnipeg, he ended up in Toronto, and he was involved in developing hydroelectric generating stations in northern Quebec. for gold mines. Well, of course, here in Manitoba, we're developing a gold mine on Elk Island.
Specialist.
Absolutely. They said, you're the expert on building generating stations to power gold mines. Maybe you can design one for us. So he apparently went up there. He looked around at the environment there, and he found what he thought was a reasonably good site on the Canoochewan River, which flows into God's Lake. But he thought he found a spot. It was called the Canoochewan Rapids. There was sort of a rapidly descending bit of water there, and he thought that would probably provide enough head. Head is the term that engineers refer to, the difference in water elevation from the top of the structure to the bottom, to know how much water falls and therefore how much power you can generate.
Right.
And he found that at this rapid site, there was enough head, he thought, they could develop about 14 feet of head in order to generate power. So over the course of the next couple of years, from 1933, 1934, 1935, they built this Canoochewan generating station, and it's quite an elaborate structure. There's a dam, and then there's a powerhouse that was built as part of that. So there was a generator that would turn when the water flowed past it, and that in turn, that turning of the water of this generator would actually generate electricity. And then there was a long sort of passage that would direct the water from the river into a separate channel that would run down and pass through this powerhouse. The powerhouse was built for future expandability. It actually had provision for three generators. Now, they only put one in, but I think the plan was that in the long term, as they needed more power, they could simply add a second and a third generating capacity.
And that never happened.
It never happened. You know, I mentioned before the other big generating facilities on the northern Manitoba that begin with K. And in terms of their capacity, they range from just about 300 megawatts to a maximum of 1,200 megawatts. That's a lot of power. And especially if you compare it to the Canoochewan, because Canoochewan was 1.4 megawatts.
Tiny.
It was measly.
Right.
But it was enough for running this gold mine. And
right,
then
right.
Eventually the plan was, as they needed more, they
get
could
it
put
bigger.
In.
Sure.
Yeah. So they got possession of this generating station in 1936. That's when their license was issued to allow them to operate it to generate power. They built a transmission line, a 40-mile transmission line over to the mine, and they started flowing power to it, and the mine was started to operate. And by all accounts, it was a fairly robust facility. They had houses for the workers. They had a store. They had a church. They had a school. They had a skating rink. You know, they had all the trappings you'd expect of a town. But what seems to be missing is foresight. They didn't anticipate, I think, the longevity of the ore body that was there.
Yeah, running out of gold.
Yeah, so literally, I came across a reference that said by 1943, barely 8 years after the mine began operating, they had exhausted the ore body. You know, it's silly to see, I mean, that they would not take that into account. Maybe they just didn't have the information they needed to know how long the ore would last. But that's the it. That's the 1943, the ore is exhausted. So they shut the mine down.
8 years only.
8 years.
So why didn't Manitoba Hydro take over the operation of this generating station?
Well, they looked into it, in fact.
Oh.
I came across a report from the 1960s where engineers from Manitoba Hydro went and checked out this facility, this generating station on the Canoochewan River, and they said, well, it's kind of small, for starters. It's not in the best spot. In fact, it turns out after they'd done more thorough surveys than Mr. Chase had done, they found better spots where they could have generated more power.
Of course.
But by that time, what they had come to the conclusion was that it was more cost-effective to have great big facilities that generated massive amounts of power, and then they would build a long transmission line from those big facilities out into the community. So although it would have made sense, perhaps, to use this existing one, they chose not to. And therefore, it was never exploited. It shut down in 1943. Well, the report that I found from the 60s, one of the intriguing parts of it is that they said that in the 60s, there was actually a fly-in fishing camp nearby that actually was using the power from this abandoned hydroelectric generating station.
Oh, after Manitoba Hydro walked away.
Or maybe even before that, they kind of sneaked over and, you know, maybe under cover of darkness, kind of plugged in their cord, and they were actually using power from this this abandoned hydro station.
So it wasn't actually shut down.
No, that's the most interesting part of this story, It seems to me. By the 1960s, they reported that the generator was still working, that it was still producing power. It wasn't being used, of course, for the mine, but it was being used a little bit by this fly-in fishing camp. But even more intriguing, I think, is that a friend of mine, an engineer, was sent up to the site in 2001 because by this time the provincial government had stepped in and had assumed ownership of the site, and they were looking to decommission. Well, apparently the engineer says that the generator was still operating at that point, 2001, you know, decades after it had been shut down. The only thing he said was that there was appeared to be a bad bearing in the generator, because as it turned, you'd hear this sort of rhythmic thumping, you know, thump, 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 thump.
Something's wearing down.
Something's wearing down. But you think, my God, the fact that it's still operating
For almost 60 years.
Yeah, yeah.
On its own. After Hydro walked away.
No maintenance whatsoever. Well, after the original operators from the gold company walked away.
Right.
After Manitoba Hydro chose not to exploit.
Right.
There it is. It's still operating. So I'm really curious.
What's going on up there now?
Well, a few years ago, back in 2007, the government went in and decommissioned the mine site. They tore down most of the remaining buildings. Supposedly, they went over to the generating station and did some work there as well, but it's unclear exactly what they did. So I'm hoping that I can arrange to get up there next summer. I'm fascinated to see if
it's still going.
Yeah, to see if it's still generating power this many years after the fact.
Knutchen, the ghost generating station.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, that's super interesting. The fact that something way up there is still kind of doing its job, even though no one's around. What's up for next week?
Well, we're going to talk about an award that is presented by the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba, and it's given to people who've done meritorious work in preserving and promoting Manitoba's history. And so next week, we're going to talk about this award, tell you a little bit more about how it came to be, what sort of work it recognizes, some people who've received it, and I'll give you a little bit of advice if anybody would like to nominate someone from their community.
Oh, good. Look forward to that next week. Thank you, Gordon, and thank you for all of your visits in 2018, and have a happy and prosperous 2019. Happy New Year.
Thanks very much.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.